ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
तमूतितं वीक्ष्य कुलाचलं पुनः समुज्यता निर्मतितं सुरासुरा दधारपृष्ठेन सलाक्षयोजना प्रस्तारिणा द्वीप इवापरो महम्।
When the demigods and demons saw that Mandara Mountain had been lifted, they were enlivened and encouraged to begin churning again. The mountain rested on the back of the great tortoise, which extended for 800,000 miles like a large island.
Sura surendrair bhujavirayade pitam hari brahmantam girimanga prishtata vibratada vartanamadi kachapo menenga kanduyanama prameyaha.
O King, when the demigods and demons, by the strength of their arms, rotated Mandara Mountain on the back of the extraordinary tortoise, the tortoise accepted the rolling of the mountain as a means of scratching his body, and thus he felt a pleasing sensation.
By his divine grace, Esi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead is always unlimited. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his body is a tortoise, held on his back the largest of mountains, Mandara Parvat, he did not feel any inconvenience. On the contrary, he apparently felt some itching, and thus the rotation of the mountain was certainly very pleasing. Translation: O King, when the demigods and demons by the strength of their arms rotated Mandara Mountain on the back of the extraordinary tortoise, the tortoise accepted the rolling of the mountain as a means of scratching his body, and thus he felt a pleasing sensation. Krishna is the controller of the three modes of material nature. In the Bhagavad Gita, he explains, Matta parataram nanyat kinshidasti dananjayat mai saravamidam protam sutre manigana iva, that there is no truth superior to me. Everything is resting upon me as pearls are strung on a thread. The Supreme Lord is absolute. He is beyond the capability of the material senses to comprehend. One who is unfortunate tries to comprehend the infinite, inconceivable nature of the Lord by trying to relate his glories and pastimes according to his mundane faculty of reasoning. Such a person is sure to be utterly bewildered, because the Lord, in his achintya shakti, everything he does is inconceivable to our material mind and senses. Atha Sri Krishna Nabadi Nabave Grayam Indriyai Sevan Mukehi Jivado Swayam Eva Spuratyata. One can never understand Krishna or perceive him through mundane sense perception. It is only when the mind and the senses are utterly spiritualized can we perceive the beauty and the glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is said in the Brahma Samhita that premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena, that only when one's eyes are smeared with the salve of love can one see the beautiful form of Shyam Sundar. Similarly, only when one's heart is decorated with the divine ornament of faith can one begin to comprehend or understand the infinite glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This Earth planet is approximately 25,000 miles around, according to the modern scientists. And as you know, up until just the past 500 years, in the recorded history of Western science, Western culture, no man was ever able to conquer this great feat of circumambulating this world. You know, Christopher Columbus, that very famous navigator, he was trying to circle the world. But because they had such little information about this tiny little Earth planet, he did not really know where he was going. He just thought that if I go far enough west, I'll end up in India, because he speculated that this world must be round. And of course, on the way, he came into this large land, which he thought was India, but actually it was America. So it is said that he discovered America. Although there were millions of Indians, of course they were not called Indians then, but there were millions of natives living very peacefully on that tract of land. So Christopher Columbus never actually achieved his goal of going around the world. It was one, I believe he was a Portuguese sailor of the name of Magellan, and it was he that finally went down to the bottom of the South America, Argentina, and went around, and ultimately he circled the world. And this was considered a very, very great historical event. So if you think how many years these people were living in the Western world, and how up until very recently, no one had ever been able to even circle this tiny globe, which is 25,000 miles. 25,000 miles was considered such a huge amount of distance. But here we read that the Supreme Lord, he appeared in the form of a tortoise, and he extended the length and breadth of his shell 800,000 miles. Sometimes, you know, on the roads we see these tiny little tortoises, very small, and we think, oh, they are so nice looking. Children think, oh, how charming they are. Look at little tortoise. In America, one of the most favorite pets is little turtles. And this little one, baby, little, they never grow bigger than this their whole life. And they feed their little turtles, and they let them crawl on them, and it's a very, very enjoyable experience. And then when you go to a place like Keshi Ghat or Radha Kund, especially a place like Keshi Ghat or Vishram Ghat in Vrindavan, and then you see these big, big tortoises, you think, my God, so big. Some people are afraid to go in the waters. They're thinking these tortoises are so big. They're astonished, especially many Westerners who are used to having their little pet turtles. When they see these tortoises in the Jamuna, many of them, they will not go in. They think, my God, so big. How big are they? Their shell may be at the most. How big? What do you think? 3 feet. What? The tortoises? I would say 2 feet at the most. 10 feet. Where did you see a tortoise 10 feet in the Jamuna?
He must have transcendental vision, because we only see them as being 2 feet.
At the most, 3 feet. But here we find that when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, takes the form of a tortoise, he is 800,000 miles.
Can you imagine? With all the spaceships and rocket ships, they could never in their whole lives go from one end of this tortoise to the other.
So when Krishna does something, he does not do things like you and me. Sometimes just to show an example, he plays the role of an ordinary child. But then again, just to show the difference, he performs some superhuman activity, which is most inconceivable. Just like when Sri Krishna lifted the Govardhan Hill, he was only a child of the age of 7. And here was this large mountain, which today is 21 kilometers in size, to walk around. And in those days, of course, it was much bigger. And the residents of Vrindavan, they were thinking that, no, it's not possible, Krishna cannot lift this hill. They were putting their sticks under the hill, and they were thinking actually that they were holding it up. Because Krishna, it's not that he was like a big wrestler with big muscles and extravagant physique. No, he was just a very simple little cowherd boy. His limbs were very tender and very soft. So they could not comprehend, how is it possible that he is lifting the hill? It's not possible. We better make sure it doesn't fall on him, because it might hurt him. So they were all putting their sticks under the hill, and they were working very hard to hold the hill up. And Krishna was simply smiling at them, accepting the devotional attitude of their willingness to help and assist him. And Krishna, although he lifted the hill for 7 days, he felt not even the least inconvenience. Similarly, we read of how Lord Sri Krishna, in his expansion of Anantashesha, is holding the universes on the hoods of his transcendental head. He feels no inconvenience. Can you imagine the weight of the universe? So the Lord, his strength is not like the strength of ours. The Mandara mountain, which was so incredibly heavy and difficult for even the most mighty conquerors, the demigods and the demons, although it was being rotated back and forth on the back of this great tortoise, you would think there would be some inconvenience or some pain. But Kurmadev was feeling a very, very pleasing scratching sensation. Just like there is a saying, you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. Because it's, when you have an itch on the back, it feels very good when someone scratches it. And since you cannot scratch your own back, because you're such a limited jivatma that you can't even scratch your own back, and you think you can conquer the whole world, and you think you're so great, you need someone to scratch your back. You're so helpless. So when someone comes and scratches your back, you think, very nice, very nice. But if they scratch too hard, you say, no, not so hard, no so hard. Right? But Kurmadev, they were scratching his back by having this mountain, which was thousands of miles high, made out of solid gold, which all the demigods and all the demons could not lift. And it was grinding upon his back. And he was thinking, very nice, very nice. This is Krishna. Krishna appears in these wonderful ways just to attract our minds. After all, he did not have to appear as a tortoise. Simply by his mere desire, he could have supported this great mountain of Mandara.
which was sinking into the ocean.
But because God is a person, he loves to exhibit extraordinarily beautiful pastimes for his pleasure and for the pleasure of his devotees. Now, why would the impersonal Brahman, if the Lord is impersonal, ultimately, without a personality, without a sense of humor, why in the world would he just decide to appear as an 800,000-mile tortoise? Why? Brahman is the infinite energy of the Lord. Why not just by that energy support the mountain? Huh? Would be no problem. Just by will, that mountain would have been supported. But because Krishna is a very, very transcendental personality, and he has a wonderful sense of humor, and he has an incredibly variated propensity for enjoyment and giving enjoyment to his devotees, therefore he performs such wonderful, wonderful pastimes that human beings could never imagine. Even the greatest and most expert science fiction writer could never come up with a story like this, could they? Huh? Have you ever heard? Where they're churning a mountain of gold in an ocean of milk. Demons and demigods, and the rope is a huge, gigantic serpent by the name Vasuki. And as they're churning, the mountain starts sinking into the ocean, and then, da-da-da-da, the hero comes to the rescue. An 800,000-mile big, he just crawls underneath. And he thinks, ah, how nice, this scratching of this mountain against my back. Wow. Who could possibly think of a story like this? Even the extent of human imagination has never come up with anything like this. So do you think that some impersonal energy can possibly exhibit such divine, extraordinary activities? No. We read about Krishna in Vrindavan. We read about how transcendentally humorous he is. How he's always very playful. And how he's always most anxious to please his devotees in so many ways. Huh? Just like in Vrindavan, just to please his devotees, Krishna would be in the cowherd pastures and they would see a peacock. And Krishna would say, oh, do you want to see me imitate a peacock? And then he would start walking just like a peacock. And all his friends would be laughing, ah, Krishna, you look just like a peacock. And he would say, yes, yes, Haribo. And then he would see monkeys jumping from trees, and Krishna would say, ah, do you want to see monkey from tree? And he would imitate monkey from tree. The cowherd boys would say, ah, you look just like a monkey from a tree. And they would all start laughing and clapping their hands. In this way, Krishna, his only business in Vrindavan is to give pleasure to his devotees. Last night we were hearing the story of when Srimati Radharani became very angry at Krishna for various transcendental reasons. Krishna even makes Srimati Radharani angry just to increase her pleasure. And Srimati Radharani becomes angry just to increase his pleasure. And then he went through the forest of Gabravan collecting peacock feathers and decorated his body and started dancing like the most graceful and beautiful peacock. Wow. Just to appease the anger of Srimati Radharani. And when she saw him, she was thinking, ah, such a wonderful peacock. This is my Shyam Sundar. Let me dance with him. So she also collected the peacock feathers and decorated her body, and they danced together. So you see, Krishna in the supreme abode, he has the most wonderful transcendental intelligence. And that intelligence in the spiritual world, he's always thinking of newer and fresher ways to give pleasure to his devotees, to enjoy the reciprocation of rasa, or loving exchanges. So it is that Supreme Lord, Sri Hari, it is that Giridhari of Vrindavan, who is the original source and cause of all causes, And it is he that is the controller of all material and spiritual worlds. Imagine the artistic ability of Sri Krishna. We were talking about how limited science fiction writers are compared to the type of stories that Krishna could think of. What to speak of artists? The best artist is an artist who can, back some 100 years ago, during the Baroque or the Renaissance period of art, Western art, the best artist was the artist who could most realistically paint exactly what nature really looked like. It's like in Italy, the greatest artist, Leonardo da Vinci, Michelangelo, if you see their carvings or you see their paintings, it's unbelievable how realistic these forms are. People say, my God, how can anyone with a paint and a brush manifest such works of art that look exactly like the real thing, with such expression? They're considered good artists because they can copy some little scene. Huh? What are they really creating? They're not creating anything. They're actually just duplicating to some extent, with a little of their own personality being expressed through it. And of course, modern art, they don't like anything to look realistically. They like everything to look very impersonalistic and surrealistic, where they just have all kinds of crazy, I don't even know what you call it, modern art. It really just, the idea of modern art is to defy the real sense of form and personality and just create a illusory sense of beauty based on design and color. But even these modern artists, basically all they're painting is the strangeness of their own minds, right? People think it's very beautiful. It doesn't mean anything. The more meaningless it is, the more they consider it's artistic. It's like, there's a very famous piece of art. It's the major piece of art in one particular city in America. And people from all over the United States, people from all over the world come to see it. And what is it? It's a gigantic, six-story high, orange-colored clothespin. You know what a clothespin is? Huh? When you hang your clothes on a line, you take a little pin that you clip it on to make your clothes stay. They spent hundreds and thousands of US dollars to construct, out of fiberglass and all sorts of other steel materials, this giant clothespin. And people from all over, it's in the center of the city, they come to see this clothespin. Nobody thinks, why is it a clothespin? Some people think, why did he make a clothespin? Why did they spend tons of money? You can't even hang clothes on it, it's too big. Right? You just look at it. It's considered such a wonderful thing. This is considered art, has no meaning. It's so meaningless that it's considered something wonderful. So what is our capacity to create art? But Krishna, everything we see, including this crazy fellow's clothespin, all the sky, all the waters, all the species of life, all the flowers, all the plants, all the trees, all the buildings, everything has been created by Krishna, all the stars, all the planets. And how wonderfully and beautifully he has done. We cannot even imagine the beauty of the spiritual world, even this material world. It's such a work of art that it is inconceivable that anyone could have possibly done it. But Krishna has done it. So Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. When people see the beauty of material existence, if they are intelligent, they must accept that only an infinite person with infinite artistic abilities could have created this. And only the greatest fool can think that this is all happening by chance
or this is all emanating from some impersonalistic energy.
No.
Krishna is the Supreme Person. And that Supreme Person is the cause of all causes and the ultimate goal of life. And he can only be approached through devotion. Vaktyatvananiyashakya aham evam vidurjana. Even in this world, we are all Krishna's part and parcels. We are all made in the image of God. And we know that there is nothing more dear to our heart than the reciprocation of love. If someone loves us, that person naturally becomes very dear to our hearts. We cannot avoid reciprocating love with someone who genuinely loves us, unless we are most hard-hearted. So Krishna, he is the Supreme Person. We are just little persons. And he also finds only pleasure in the reciprocation of love. Therefore, you can enter into the divine energy of the Lord through transcendental knowledge. You can unite with the chit-jakti, with the source of all knowledge from within the heart, through the process of tapasya, and through the process of performing many mystical sciences and disciplines. But you can only understand the Lord in his ultimate supreme feature as Krishna, the personality of Godhead, through bhakti, through devotion, through love. Je yathamam prapadyante tam sthitaiva bhajamyaham mama vartmanu varatante manusya paratasara. As you approach Krishna, he will reciprocate with you accordingly. So therefore, a devotee is not concerned with anything but the development of love, the development of devotion. Oftentimes I tell the story of the mystic yogi that came to Prabhupada in Vrindavan, and he started showing all these mystical, extravagant powers that he had. He started creating things and moving things. It was miraculous. Everyone around was thinking, oh my God, such a wonderful person. I remember one mystic yogi came to New Vrindavan and he was talking about the different feats of powers that he could manifest, exhibit. And many of the devotees were thinking, really, you can do like this? I don't believe you, let me see. Some of the newer devotees. And he started performing some of his mystic feats, and some of the devotees were very much, the younger devotees were thinking, my God, this is wonderful. The older devotees were just looking like, yeah. Like they got the doctor of the community, and the person went, and then he stopped this. He said, how long should I stop my heart and be clinically dead? They said, 20 minutes. He said, okay. And then his heart stopped, and he was sitting in the lotus position, and there was no pulse, no heartbeat, nothing. He was clinically dead. There was not the slightest sign of life anywhere in his body. And there were two doctors who examined him from every point of view of medical technology, and there was no sign of life in any part of his body. He was dead. And exactly 20 minutes later, he went, and then he just opened his eyes and said, I'm back. Huh? And the people were thinking, my God, the doctor said, how is this possible? I have never seen such a thing. This is beyond our modern science of medicine's ability to comprehend. And then they had him run, he laid under a car, a truck, and they just ran him over in the truck, and he just laid there. And none of his limbs, nothing got even damaged. He just laid there. He just ran him over. And then they took two cars and he put two ropes in both of his hands. And both cars, big American cars, they both, with full acceleration, were going in both directions. And he just held both of them. And he wasn't a strong man. He was just a small man. What else did he do? All kinds of crazy things. He took a light bulb and put it in his hand and just started crushing it up until it was powder, and there wasn't the slightest blood or cut or hole in his hand. Just until it was like fine salt. He did all kinds of things like this. He took his big pole and this big steel beam. You know what a beam is? A big steel beam with a pointed edge. And he took a huge weight and put it at the end of the beam, and then he put the beam in his eye and balanced the weight. Totally, it weighed about 100 pounds, and it was all being supported by his eyeball. Devotees were thinking, my God, he has very strong eyes.
So we were watching.
We were thinking, he spent years and years and years and years of tapasya to do this, so what? I mean, so such a yogi who was far greater than this man started exhibiting all of his mystic feats to Prabhupada. People were going, oh, just see how wonderful he is. Prabhupada just looked at him and just said, why don't you give up all this nonsense and surrender to Krishna? And the person realized that, my God, Prabhupada's actually the greatest. He knows the truth that these are all just so many foolish tricks. And he became a life member right then and there, and bought a whole set of Prabhupada's books to learn what it meant to surrender to Krishna. So the mystic powers of the tiny little jivatmas of this world, you may be able to perform a few little miracles. But Krishna is Yogeshwar. He is the supreme master of all mystics. What Krishna does, no human being can even attempt to imitate in full. And Krishna, he is only attracted by love. He is only attracted by devotion. Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavanyashtasmi tatvata. Krishna said, it is only by undivided pure devotion that you can understand me as I am. So therefore the devotee takes the greatest pleasure not in hearing about himself, not in talking about his own glories, which are so ridiculously insignificant, but he takes the greatest pleasure hearing the infinite glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Lord appears in such wonderful incarnations as Kurmadev just to give pleasure to his devotees. Why else? There are unlimited other ways, less extraordinary, that he could have supported that mountain. As I said, just by his will, the mountain would have just supported itself, right? Why in the world would he appear as an 800,000-mile big tortoise? Just try to fathom the psychology of God. Why, of all ways to support the mountain, would he appear as an 800,000-mile tortoise? Would you have thought of something like that? Nobody could think of something like that. He exhibits these wonderful pastimes simply to give pleasure to his devotees. It wasn't to support the mountain. He could have done that in so many ways. But he supported the mountain. Actually, he's the one that made the mountain start sinking. It wasn't by accident. It was by his will that the mountain started sinking. It was his will that he exhibited such a wonderful form just to give pleasure to his devotees, just to have an excuse for all time to come. Everyone would be singing, Keshavadrita Kurma Sarira Jaya Jagadisha Hari. Jaya Jagadisha Hari, Jaya Jagadisha Hari. This story took place in Satyuga. It took place millions and millions and millions of years ago. Do you think you can do anything in your life that people will be remembering? Millions of people will be singing your glories every day, millions and millions of years from now? So Krishna appeared in this most wonderful form to give pleasure to us, just to attract our minds, not only the people of the time, but for people of all times. So we must understand the glory of Krishna's divine incarnations in this light. Krishna says in Gita, paritra naya sadhunam vinashaya chuduskritam dharma samstapanaradaya sambhavami. That I appear to annihilate the miscreants, to protect the pious, and to reestablish the principles of religion. But actually, he does not have to appear personally in these wonderful forms to do these things. He can annihilate the miscreants through material nature within a second. He's the controller of material nature. He can protect the pious simply by his mere desire, through material nature also. He doesn't have to come personally. He can empower one of his devotees to be a guard and protect his devotees. To reestablish the principles of religion, he sends so many of his sons, his prophets, his children. They are also reestablishing the principle of religion. Why does he come as Kurmarupa? Why does he come as Matsya Avatar? Why does he come as Varaha Dev, as a giant boar who holds the earth within his tusks? Why does he come in the form of Lord Nrsingadev? He could have killed Hiranyakashipu just by just stopping his heartbeat. Mm-hmm. As the Paramatma in the heart, all he had to do was stop the heartbeat. Hiranyakashipu would have fallen dead. Why did he appear in a wonderful, magnanimous form as a half-man, half-lion? And with his growling, he just tore him to pieces. He appears for one reason and one reason only, in essence, simply to give pleasure to his devotees, to give his devotees some beautiful, wonderful way of remembering him and attracting their minds, to give all people for all time to come a wonderful, wonderful lila to remember, to meditate upon. And through this remembrance, we develop love for him. Because Krishna is all attractive, the more we think of him, the more we hear of his wonderful pastimes, the more we understand the transcendental nature of why he appears the way he appears, the more we naturally become attracted, and the more our heart opens like a lotus flower and blossoms with love. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yoviti tattva tatyaktva deham punarajana naiti mameti swarajana. Krishna says, one who understands the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities never takes birth again in this material world, but attains my abode. Because the more we hear the glories of the Lord from proper sources, if we hear from proper sources and understand the real truth of why and how Krishna appears in these most wonderful forms, then simply that sound vibration attracts our consciousness, attracts our heart. And we cannot resist from loving such a beautiful and such a glorious personality as Krishna. And when our love for Krishna awakens, naturally our desire for sense enjoyment decreases. In fact, it disappears. And in that state, we never have to take birth again in this material world, but we return to the eternal abode of the Lord. So it is by his infinite causeless mercy upon us to attract our minds, attract our hearts, and reawaken our love that Krishna appears in these most wonderful pastimes, most wonderful forms. Just meditate on an 800,000-mile tortoise gracefully crawling under this large mountain, Mandara, and just enjoying the service of the demigods and the demons as they are scratching his back. Sakyata Sukriti. Agyata Sukriti means you're rendering service without even knowing it. Huh? The demigods and the demons, although they were actually churning, not as a service to the Lord, they were churning out of greed, especially the demons. They were churning out of greed, thinking that they would get nectar to enjoy sense enjoyment. Huh? But Krishna is so tricky that he arranged it in such a way that they were rendering service to him, personal service, by massaging his back. Huh? And in this way, because they were pleasing him by rendering this nice, intimate, personal service, they were actually making spiritual advancement. So Krishna's only desire for all living beings is to become again attracted to him, to engage in his loving service, to become purified, and to go back to home, back to Godhead. And that is the sum and substance, the essence of the reasoning behind the Lord's descent within this material world. Is there any questions? Yes. Yes, through his devotees. When you give someone prasad, they are rendering service. By simply accepting his mercy in the form of prasad, they are rendering service to Krishna. By giving a donation, even if they're not really exactly understanding what the spiritual significance is, the fact that they're surrendering some of their money or some of their time or some of their energy to Krishna, they're rendering service. By hearing the holy name or by speaking the holy name, which is emanating from the lips of great devotees, they are rendering service. There are 9 processes of devotional service. One is chanting, one is hearing. So, in this way, yes, Krishna is incarnated. He incarnates in this world, practically speaking, through the mercy of his devotees. And they are always very, very anxious to engage everyone in the service of the Lord, knowingly or unknowingly. Is there any other questions?
Thank you very much.